Om Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter Number 12. Chapters entitled Mohini Murti Bewilders Lord Shiva. This is text 9 and number 10. Tvam Brahma Kechit Avyayat Yukta Dharma Eke. Eke Param Sarasato Purusham Puresham. Anye Vayanti Navashakti Yutam Parartham. Kechayit amaha purusham avyayam atmatantram. Translation. Those who are known as the impersonalist Vedantist regard you as the impersonal Brahman. Others, known as the Mimamsaka philosophers, regard you as religion. The Sankhya philosophies regard you as a transcendental person who is beyond Prakriti and Purusha, and who is the controller of even the demigods. The followers of the codes of devotional service, known as the Pancharatras, regard you as being endowed with 9 different potencies. And the Patanjali philosophers, the followers of Patanjali Muni, regard you as the supreme independent personality of Godhead who has no equal or superior. So that is text number 9. Text 10. Nayam parayurasaina marichi mukhyam janati advivrachitam kalosattva sargam yamayayam musita chetasa isadaityam. Martyam daya kim yutam sarva adbhadravrittaha. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O my Lord, I, who am considered to be the best of the demigods, and Lord Brahma and the great rishis headed by Marichi, are born of the mode of goodness. Nonetheless, we are bewildered by your illusionary energy, and cannot understand what this creation is. Aside from us, what is to be said of others, like the demons and human beings, who are in the base modes of material nature, Rajagun and Tamagun? How would they know you? Please repeat, O my Lord. Purport is quite lengthy, so please listen up. Factually speaking, even those who are situated in the material mode of goodness cannot understand the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What then is to be said of those who are situated in Rajagun or Tamagun, the base qualities of material nature? How can we even imagine the Supreme Personality of Godhead? There are so many philosophers trying to understand the absolute truth. But since they are situated in the base qualities of material nature and addicted to so many bad habits like drinking, meat-eating, illicit sex, and gambling, how can they conceive of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? For them, it is impossible. For the present day, the Pancharatriki Vidhi, as enunciated by Narada Muni, is the only hope. Srila Rupa Goswami, therefore, has quoted the following verse from the Brahma Yamala, Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatriki Vidhi Vinam Aikantika Harer Bhaktir Upatayava Kalpate. Devotional service of the Lord that ignores the authorized Vedic literatures like the Upanishads, Puranas, and Narada Pancharatra is simply an unnecessary disturbance in society. Bhakti Rasamritu Sindhu 1.2.101, unquote. Those who are very advanced in knowledge and are situated in the mode of goodness follow the Vedic instructions of the Shruti and Smriti and others religious scriptures, including the Pancharatriki Vidhi. Without understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead in this way, one only creates a disturbance. In this age of Kali, so many gurus have sprung up, and because they do not refer to the Shruti, Smriti, Puranadi, Pancharatriki, Vidhi, they are creating a great disturbance in the world in regarding the understanding of the Absolute Truth. However, those who follow the Pancharatriki Vidhi under the guidance of a proper spiritual master can understand the Absolute Truth. It is said, Pancharatrakyasya Krinasya Vaktatu Bhagavan Swayam. The Pancharatriki system is spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just like Bhagavad Gita. Vasudeva Sharanam Vidu Aja Saiva. The truth can be understood only by one who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of Vasudeva. Bahunam Gyanamanante Gyanamam Papadyante Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlabaha. Translation: after many births and deaths, he was actually in knowledge, surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. That's from Bhagavad Gita 7:19. Only those who have surrendered unto the lotus feet of Vasudeva can understand the Absolute Truth. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janasyatyasu Rai Raghyam Jnanam Chayad Ahaitukam. By rendering devotional service unto the Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, one immediately acquires causeless knowledge and detachment from the world. That's from Srimad Bhagavatam 1:27. Therefore, Vasudeva, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, personally teaches in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharma Parikshetyam Mamekam Sharanam Bhajam. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. That's from Bhagavad Gita 18:66. Bhaktyamam Avijananti Yavanyas Chasmi Tatvataha. One can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead as he is only by devotional service. Bhagavad Gita 18:55. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is not properly understood even by Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma. What to speak of others? But he can be understood by the process of Bhakti Yoga. Maya Shakta Manam Partam Yoga Yujam Manasrayaha Asamsayam Samagram Mam Yata Jashasi Tachchinu. That's from Bhagavad Gita 7:1. If one practices Bhakti Yoga by taking shelter of Vasudeva Krishna, simply by hearing Vasudeva speak about himself, one can understand everything about him. Indeed, one can understand him completely. Samagram. There's one statement spoken by the controller or the supreme engineer of the universe, Lord Brahma. Some people say they know you. He's referring to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that is very nice. But as far as I am concerned, I know nothing about you. Manushanam sahasreshu kaschid yadrisidhaya yashitam yadat yashitam kaschid maamveti tadvadaha. Many persons attempt to know God or engage in service to the Lord, and some actually become liberated. But out of those who are liberated, hardly one knows the Lord in truth. People know a little bit about God, but what little they know is basically useless, because it can't save them. It can't save them at all. All they know is God is powerful. He is. He's all-powerful. He's present everywhere, and that is also true. He exists within the atom. He's without. He's between everything. In fact, existence is God. There is no existence outside of God. This is mentioned in the second canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, verse chapter number 9, which are the Chatur Slokis, which says that before the creation All that existed was I, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna speaking. During the manifestation, all that exists is I, the Supreme Lord. And after the annihilation, all that remains is I. So existence is God. There's nothing outside. Existence can be divided into two things, God and God's energies. And from the absolute point of view, the energy and the energetic are the same. They're divided for the sake of function, but ultimately they are one. So existence is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, but the goal of life is to develop love for God. And knowing and developing love for God means to know a little bit about God, know something about God. But there is a process. Srila Prabhupada explains what is not the process. In order to give truth, one has to explain what is not truth. One cannot simply present knowledge without explaining what is not, especially in this age of Kali, because this age of Kali is permeated and, what we say, saturated with lying propaganda on all levels, both about the purpose of life, the goal of life, the activities of life, and who is God. You find cheating, you find hypocrisy in all aspects of existence, on all levels. You go to school, you try to get an education, you may learn something about technology, but as far as reality is concerned, you remain ignorant. Because the schools can't teach you anything because they don't know anything. People say, I think it is maybe, perhaps, it's like this. This person said it's like this, and I agree with this person. This person says something different, but I don't agree with that one. So I agree with them, and whoever speaks the loudest, you know, that's the person who's heard the most. But it's all what we say, monodharma. Well, not even dharma, it's just mono. It's all the mind. And the mind bewildered by the external energy of the Lord. And therefore, no one can actually understand God. God is covered by his illusory energy. And that illusory energy is very powerful. It's more powerful than the living entity because it entraps the living entity. Therefore, people speak all kinds of nonsense. That's all they do is speak nonsense. Now, especially when it comes to describing explaining what is God or what is the process for knowing God. Therefore, there is an authorized way. There are so many wrong ways, and there's one right way. The wrong ways are innumerable, and that is the nature of the world. Under the influence of the material energy, there are, what we say, religions in the mode of ignorance. There is religion in the mode of passion. And there is religion in the mode of goodness. And then there's transcendence. The religions in the mode of ignorance and passion give some principles on how to govern one's activity in terms of moral and religious activity. But they don't teach anything about God. If you ask them, what does God look like? They say, we can't talk about that. Or we can't... Well, he may look like this, or somebody paints a picture and says, this is God, and then all the people that like him agree with him, and people that don't agree with him. So there is so much speculation about the nature of God, about the nature of how to understand God. And this is Kali Yuga. And the most ridiculous thing is there are more and more ways to not understand God that are considered ways to understand. There's always some new creation, some new incarnation, some new philosophy. That is the nature of Kali Yuga. Nothing works, so let's try to invent something else which doesn't work. It just increases the ignorance. It gets deeper and deeper. Therefore, one has to go to what is called authorized personalities and who are governed by authorized scriptures. Here, Srila Prabhupada mentions the Pancharatriki Vidhi, which is the process of learning It teaches how to learn about the Supreme Personality of God. It's the method. And it is given by Sri Narada Muni himself, who has heard this knowledge from his spiritual master, Lord Brahma. So one has to understand things according to disciplic succession based on bona fide religious scriptures. There are so many scriptures, and there are so many gurus, and there are so many processes. But who is actually becoming free from what we say the cycle of birth and death? We find even Prabhupada talks about this quite lengthy in his conversations with his devotees and in his lectures, how there are so many cheaters giving so many wrong understandings of what is reality. And so if you go shopping, you're in trouble because you might find something that looks good but cannot give you the actual, what we say, results. Therefore, what is the process for understanding, or what is the process that makes one fortunate to understand, is that one has to have the desire to actually understand. One has to be sincere in wanting to understand the absolute truth. If one still wants material energy and material sense gratification and still wants to be religious, Krishna will send them a process that will give them some mixture, some little piety and some elevation away from material suffering, but they can maintain some, what we say, practice of sense gratification. Mm-hmm. It's like Prabhupada said, there are people in the mode of goodness, and they follow pious activities. They give in charity. They feed the poor. They do many welfare works. They even sometimes they're very, what we say, active in writing books and even opening organizations and institutions. Srila Prabhupada met many such people in his attempts to spread Krishna consciousness. They have good qualities by material standards, but still they have no knowledge of the Supreme Lord because they don't follow the authorized process. One has to follow the process. You know, some people say, I know God. But those who actually know God say, I don't know God. Or those who have some little knowledge of God say, I don't know God. So we have to come to the position of accepting the right process. And here is it explained what is the right process. That scripture that is authorized, devotional service that ignores authorized scripture, when we have to evaluate scripture in light of what is the highest principle. All scripture is not the same. This is a fact. Sometimes for the sake of what we say patronization or the sake of unity, we say, well, you know, it's all the same. You follow this and you follow that. But compare any scripture with Srimad Bhagavatam and you'll see that there are so many considerations for material sense gratification found within most scriptures. Or elevation to better material situations, such as going to higher planets like that. But Srimad Bhagavatam is Amalam Paradam. It teaches the highest principle of devotional service, Dharma Projito Kaitavo. The word Kaitavo is used. Kaitavo means cheating. Dharma Projito means to kick out. Dharma Bhagavatam is the Dharma that kicks out all types of cheating religious systems that give concessions for the process of realization of God. People want concessions, so the concessions are there. Therefore, there are gurus, there are scriptures, there are programs for that. But those who want the real thing will come to the process of Sudha Bhakti, a pure devotional set. And that is taught by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita and in Srimad Bhagavatam, which is a stage step up from the Bhagavad Gita's teaching. Bhagavad Gita teaches how to surrender to the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam engages one in devotional service and teaches what is the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Free from any other, what we say, religious or material consideration. Pure devotional service is found only in Srimad Bhagavatam. So this great scripture is what is called Amalam Paradam. Srila Jiva Goswami, in his Tattva Sandarbha, he explains how people have to evaluate scripture or have to evaluate principles based on what we say contradictions. One scripture may say this, one guru may say this, and someone says this. So he gives an example that if you go into the village and you want to find out some information about the village, you've never been to this village before, you may consult with an ordinary person on the street. He may give you some understanding. And then you may ask a police officer. And you may ask various people. But if you really want to know the answer to your question without a doubt, then you have to go to the village chief, the one who is in charge. And then you can be assured that that answer is correct. So Srimad Bhagavatam is the best of all religious scriptures. Why? Because there is no other consideration except pure devotional service to the Supreme Person. Savai pum sam paro dharmo yato bhakti ahoksaje ahoy tukiya priyate yayatma supersedati. That devotional service can only satisfy the living entity when it's free from interruption and what we say material considerations or material desires like that. Without motivation, without interruption. So this is what Srila Prabhupada is giving us. He's giving us pure devotional service. I mean, why? Why pure devotional service? Because it's the nature of the soul. Listen, the soul can only be satisfied by pure devotional service. And the soul can only know the Supreme Soul by this process of devotional service. Therefore, following the process as authorized in Srimad Bhagavatam, based on the teachings given by the authorized acharyas, one has to take this knowledge in disciplic succession. One may read many books, but if those books are contradictory or do not include the principles that are given in Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, one is getting something less, or one is getting something different. Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita is the highest teachings that give complete understanding of the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And once one receives that knowledge, that is step one. The realization of the knowledge is the application of the knowledge. Krishna, as Prabhupada mentions here, this one verse, Bhakti Amam Avijananti Yavan Yaschat Mitadvat. One can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead as he is only by devotional service. So knowledge is a direction on the path, but through the application of knowledge, which means engaging in devotional service, that knowledge becomes realized. Otherwise, knowledge is theoretical. And you can't, they use an example, you can't eat your theories. You can't taste the happiness that comes with transcendental knowledge when it's simply theoretical. Theoretical is important because it gives a direction. It helps us to follow the path in a proper way. But through that following of theoretical knowledge, gyan has to become vigyan. A realization has to come by way of that application of knowledge. Otherwise, the knowledge remains theoretical. And theoretical means, you know, you have some understanding, but no realization. Realization is what we're after. And realization doesn't come simply by studying books. Studying books is important, but the application comes by service. When one engages in devotional service to the Lord, beginning with glorification of the Lord, chanting of the holy names of the Lord, and following the process with faith, the principle of faith has to accompany the process of the activity of devotional service. If we do not have faith that it works, or if there's some question, the question may be cleared up, but faith has to be there. As soon as faith is full, or as soon as faith becomes what we say the motivation force for everything we do in devotional service, then we make proper spiritual advancement. Then we get realization. Because without that faith, one cannot stay on the path of devotional service. One will be deviated by opportunities for sense gratification. Or one will doubt the process. Just recently I got a letter from a devotee who's been in the movement for about 15 years, who has done translations of some of the spiritual her spiritual master's books. She's fixed in devotional service. Now she's telling me she's having so many problems. She says, I don't think the process works for me. For 15 years I've been trying it. It doesn't work. Something obviously is wrong. Something is obviously. The application of the knowledge in relationship to the activity has to bring about the results. Otherwise, we feel like, well, does it really work or not? Does it really work? Or it works for somebody, but it doesn't work for me. Or it may work for me under different conditions. But the process, therefore, one has to have what we call guidance from the bona fide spiritual master. Spiritual masters, Nasta Prayeshu Abhrajeshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhakti Uttama Sloke Bhakti Bhavati Naistiki. That one has to regularly hear this knowledge in Srimad Bhagavatam daily. But Srila Prabhupada writes in this purport in the Srimad Bhagavatam that there are two kinds of Bhagavats. There are book Bhagavat and person Bhagavat. Book Bhagavat is the teachings, and person Bhagavat lives according to book Bhagavat and gives the teachings of book Bhagavat. So he says two Bhagavats are necessary. One has to have the person and the books, not just the books. There are those who read scripture but may not conclude correctly nor may not be able to apply the teachings in one's life. But person Bhagavat is required. Person Bhagavat is essential because person Bhagavat has realization of Bhagavat and can give that knowledge. Gyaninas tattva darshanaha. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that the self-realized soul can give knowledge. Why? Because he has knowledge. And he can also teach knowledge because that is his service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the process works, but one must be fixed in following the process. If you add something or if you take something away, then you impair the results, actually. It's a very strict process. It's awakening our love for Krishna. And that love for Krishna is hidden within the hearts, covered by the material energy. So the process is to destroy those coverings, which are the illusionary energy which has been covering us, covering the living entity from time immemorial. So this knowledge is both positive and negative. Negative in its performance, it destroys ignorance and gives realization of the positive. Both. Without destruction of the negative, one cannot come to the platform of understanding the positive. One cannot come to the platform of one. So one has to follow this process. Therefore, this verse, Prabhupada goes very, what we say, thorough into explaining the process. And those who are not following the process, who have habits that are contrary to the regulative principles, one has to follow regulative principles. This is important. This is essential. One cannot adjust or minimize the regulative principles and expect to get... Prabhupada says the regulative principles keep one fixed in devotional service. How many regulative principles are there? 64. Not four. Haribo. 64 regulative principles. There's 44 do's and 20 don'ts, right? Mentioned in Nectar Devotion. So you have to learn those regulative principles and apply them. I mean, if you don't apply all the principles, then you have to see how the application is considered in each and every regulative principle. Like there's one regulative principle that says, don't wear blue or red before the deity. Can't wear blue or red color before the deity. Now, why is that? Because Krishna doesn't like blue or red. Is that why? Is that the answer? No. It's because you're not supposed to try to outdo the deity. Try to attract attention to yourself by being nicely dressed so everyone looks at you instead of Krishna. That's a regulative principle. It's mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion. Now, those of you who are wearing blue or red today, don't feel bad. you can still... Anyway, this is what it says in Nectar Devotion. I always were wondering what was that principle. And of course, when we first joined the movement, you know, everyone had, you know, saffron or white, and when the ladies came in with blue or red, everyone would chastise them. That was the old days, you know. But now we don't take this principle so seriously. So it's not a disqualification. It's not a disqualification. But there's a consideration there. What is the consideration? That everyone should focus on Krishna. That's the consideration. Anyway, but some regulative principles apply in certain circumstances. Some regulative principles apply in other circumstances. So the application of the regulative principles are mentioned in this. The listing is mentioned in the scripture, but the application is for the spiritual master to tell you how they apply. Therefore, one has to understand. If you clearly understand the regulative principles, then there's no problem. But if there's some question or some doubt, then one has to inquire from the spiritual master how the regulative principle applies to me. And that is the intelligent way to approach the process. Otherwise, the regulative principles will be confusing. But one has to follow the regulative principles. But it says that there are two regulative principles that if you follow these two, automatically you follow all the other 62. And that is always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. If you always do that, you don't have to follow the other ones. But in order to get to that process of always remembering Krishna and never forgetting Krishna, you have to follow the other ones in order to get there. Because that's the process. Once you get there, then the other regulative principles are, what we say, extraneous. And sometimes great souls simply follow them simply to teach others as an example. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, what great souls do, others follow. So great souls may follow the regulative principles in order to give direction to others and be an example because people follow. But ultimately, one who comes to that platform of always remembering Krishna, and when you always remember Krishna, the second one is already followed. You don't forget Krishna. Then you have followed all the regulative principles. So there are three things. Follow the 64, follow the regulative principles, chant the holy names of the Lord, and avoid offenses. That's all. This is the whole process of bhakti. If you chant the holy names of the Lord, free yourself from offenses, and follow the regulative principles, you have completed the whole process of bhakti yoga. That's all. So it is a gradual process. But the graduation is kept by the principle of faith. As long as we have faith, we can move through the different stages of bhakti. As soon as faith becomes, what we say, weakened or challenged by circumstances, then one has to see how to renew faith. Faith is important. Faith, as Prabhupada said, faith comes from simplicity. Those who are simple in heart have faith. Those who are complicated need a lot of philosophy in order to develop faith. Just like one time I remember we were preaching in one city in America, and this one very intellectual professor-type person was coming to our preaching center. And so he would ask so many questions, but could never understand the answers. Because he was so complicated and sophisticated and so intellectual that his intellectual Catholicism just overshadowed his common sense. It happens like that sometimes. So we were there. So I remember I was there. Radhanath Maharaj was there also. So Radhanath Maharaj said, I think we should engage him in some service. Good idea. Can't figure out the answers to he can't figure out the answers to his questions that we give him. So give him some service to do. So we gave him some service. Make a garden in the backyard for the deity. The deity needed a garden. He went out there the next day. He said, I know gardening. I'll do a nice garden for you. He worked the whole day, came in that night. He was so blissful. Oh, and now I've understood everything. He was working. He was just, you know, just serving. He, without any pretense, without any preconception. And he, the next day, he was so happy. So we told him, okay, that's your service. So he went out the next day to work in the garden. And that night he came back, he was totally bewildered, totally confused. He said, I did the same thing I did the day before, but it wasn't the same. I didn't get any bliss. The first day I was so happy to do this garden, and the next day I was thinking, I did it like this, so I'll do it like this again. So his intellect jumped in. And he was thinking, I did it like this the first day, so this is the method. So when you get intellectual people, they try to intellectualize how to figure everything out, and they just kind of like put this in their mind, and they just it's all kind of empiric knowledge, and it's mechanical. So what happened was, Krishna said, no bliss today. And so what happened, you know, he was bewildered. So his faith apparently grew with an experience, but the next day was destroyed when the experience didn't come again. So we have to have faith to whether the experience comes or doesn't come. The process works. Well, how can we tell whether the process works? How do you know you're making advancement in devotional service? This is a question devotees ask. How do we know I'm making advancement in devotional service? Good question. The answer is, you're becoming more eager for service, for chanting, for association, and you're becoming less and less, what we say, attracted, and what we say, attached to anything material. When you have lost all your attraction for the material energy, you can say that I'm making nice progress. If you're still looking towards Maya for something, you have to ways to go yet. Because Krishna is not easy to understand. And Krishna works in such a way as when we keep him exclusive in our spiritual life, he reveals himself. Even if we don't have much knowledge, even if we don't have a lot of devotion, if we only want Krishna and we apply that principle in our devotional life, in everything we do, I only want Krishna, then Krishna will reveal himself according to that desire, gradually. It doesn't require great amounts of knowledge or great amounts of service. It requires a pure heart, that's all. A heart that only wants the Lord. And Krishna reveals himself in that way. But we have to follow the process as given by the acharyas. Otherwise, the process is different. As Prabhupada mentions here, there are so many persons who, in the name of, in America, there are so many gurus who come from India every day. Prabhupada said there's one incarnation avatar coming every day. And still, people come from India, the gurus, they come, they do some yantras, tantras, mantras, and so many things. And people get attracted and get bewildered. They give them their money, and then they learn nothing, really. The bhakti is the nature of the soul. As Krishna describes in the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the highest activity in yoga is to always abide in him. This is one of the main principles of devotional service. always abide by religious principles, always abide by the principle of devotion to the Lord. In other words, always remember Krishna. Or always remember the principle that allows one to remember Krishna. In every aspect of one's devotional service, there is a principle that we should apply. What is that principle? That one should absorb themselves in the service. One should become absorbed in the service. Just like when we have kirtan. How do you get a taste for kirtan? Just fix your mind on the sound. That's all. When you fix your mind fully on that person who is chanting that sound with absorption, then your heart awakens to the holy name. It's like magic. It just happens. But if the mind is not listening, or it's partially listening, or just thinking about something else, you're not really fully absorbed in kirtan. You're somewhere else. Same with japa. Same with reading. Same with our service. To become absorbed in the activity. And then that absorption immediately brings about a taste, a higher taste. Now this is Krishna consciousness. And Krishna reveals himself accordingly. How do you know? How does Krishna reveal himself? He reveals himself first by destroying material, what we say, miseries. Then he creates peace and what we say, satisfaction within our heart. And then he starts to give us knowledge, and we start to realize that knowledge. Then we become happy in devotional service. And then we develop what we say, attraction for Krishna. We actually look forward to chant his name. We actually look forward to seeing the deity. We actually look forward for the deity to see us. Not only seeing the deity sees us too. We actually look forward to associating with devotees. We actually look forward to the process of bhakti in all aspects. And as that develops, we actually develop affection for Krishna. Just like we have affection for family members and friends, that natural affection develops for Krishna. Feelings of love, feelings of attraction, that come not by way of, well, Krishna, you did so much for me, therefore I like you. No, that come by way of the natural love within the heart. That come by way of the natural love. And when that becomes stronger, then one actually develops deep attachment to Krishna and affection. And in the highest platform, Krishna reveals himself personally in his transcendental form to one who is fully engaged in devotional service with love. So it's a great process. One has to follow the principles as given by the... But as we follow, we get realization. And as we get realization, it becomes more and more easier to follow the process. It becomes easier. So one has to fix their mind on hearing regularly. As Prabhupada mentions in this verse, Maya Shakta Manam Partha Yoga Yunjud Marasraya Asam Sayam Samagramam Yata Jatschini Tatschinu. Prabhupada gave lecture on this verse from Bhagavad Gita more than any other lecture in Bhagavad Gita. If you do some research, you'll find that 7.1 in Bhagavad Gita was the verse that Prabhupada lectured the most out of all the verses in the Bhagavad Gita. Not 1866, not 1865, not 2.13, but 7.1. This verse he spoke on not only the most, but double any other verses. Why? He wanted to emphasize that this verse is so essential that Krishna says, if you want to know me, fix your mind upon me and hear about me. Hear about me from my representative. Hear about me from myself directly through religious scriptures. Through this, and then it says, Asam Sayam Samagramam. Then Prabhupada ends the verse, Samagramam. One can understand Krishna completely. Krishna wants to make himself understood to his devotee. It's not like he's trying to hide. But he's not that easy. He's not like you just go to the store and purchase something. And because if you have enough money, you can buy something. Krishna's not like that. When one gets Krishna, one gets everything. Whatever else is there to aspire for in life comes by way of realization of the Absolute Truth. So whatever devotional service we do, we should do it with attention and with a desire to please the Lord and to please His devotees. And hear and chant the holy names with attention. When we chant the holy names, we should be so fixed on that sound. We should push the mind to hear the sound until the mind says, "All right, I give up. I will listen. Quit beating me." We have to push that mind until it hears the holy name. And then when one gets absorbed in chanting the holy name, one says, "Oh, this is chanting. This is chanting." So this is what's required to absorb ourselves in hearing and chanting the Lord and engaging in devotional service under the guidance of Krishna's representative, who is teaching on the basis of authorized scripture. And if there's any questions, or which do always come up, there always should be clarification. As long as there is doubts, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, for the doubting soul, there's neither happiness in this world nor in the next. So any doubts that one has in devotional service, whether you doubt the process, whether you doubt the spiritual teachers, whether you doubt yourself, any doubts, question, get clarification, get understanding, and go ahead and on the path of devotional service. Doubts are like demons. But the devotees have a tendency that when they have doubts or difficulties, they don't reveal them. Why? Because they think I can solve them myself. And a lot of times that problem only becomes deeper because the mind cannot evaluate its own attachments or its own difficulties. One has to inquire from those persons who they can receive the proper knowledge and direction from. Okay, so this verse is full with one point. You want to know Krishna? Follow the process. And Krishna reveals himself. Any questions or comments? Yes. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, thank you for a wonderful class.
Hare Krishna.
My question is, how does one inspire a devotee who, after even 15 years, feels that the process doesn't work for me? So this situation is there for many. They say that in the beginning of my life, Krishna conscious life, I was very much inspired, but now I don't feel the same. So how do we inspire such people?
Well, how to inspire them means, first of all, you have to really want to help them. And a lot of times, in order to understand the nature of their, what we say, anarthas or difficulties, one has to really take time and find out. Just like I received this by email. This person wrote me this email. Now I'm going to write back by email. Now how much can that person benefit by an email reply? Which is quite, what we say, impersonal. Email is just somewhat impersonal. Really, you have to somehow or other meet that person, take time, and try to question and answer. It's almost like you have to turn it into a session where all doubts are cleared. You have to get to the depths of the problem sometimes. So in trying to inspire people, one has to take time with them. You can't just give a quick answer. Because people have heard answers. But the application of the principles need to be understood according to one's circumstance. So we have to understand the person's circumstance. And part of understanding their circumstance is to understand their attachments. I mean, Bhakti, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that there are faults in the execution of bhakti. which makes bhakti somewhat less effective, very less effective. So one is going on, but they're still, they have a wrong understanding of the process. Therefore, one has to hear continually to get a clear understanding. Just like Radhanath Swami always emphasizes something that is very important in understanding how to execute bhakti. He says Krishna accepts your devotion, not just your service. He emphasizes that point, your devotion, your devotion, your devotion. Do things with devotion. And that's really an important thing. If we're just doing things, but we're not doing it with attention and with devotion, we'll get very little from the... And it's hard to destroy what we say deep-seated anarthas from that type of activity. One has to really, really apply devotion. So what does devotion mean? One has to sincerely want to please the Lord by their activities. So in trying to help one, it's not an easy thing. It's not an, one has to take time with that person and get to know the person and really work with them and sincerely apply the knowledge that you have along with praying to Krishna to help. I find that prayer also is very important, very essential in opening up realizations. As soon as we pray, sincerely pray, somehow knowledge comes, understanding comes. When we're tired of Maya, I don't want Maya anymore! Krishna, get me out! And then he'll work. When we really, really pray like that. Radhanath Swami gave a class. I was listening on tape. How, you know, Gajendra was fighting the elephant, the crocodile in the water. And as hard as he fought, he couldn't get himself loose from that. But as soon as he, with great feeling and great helplessness, prayed to the Lord by offering beautiful prayers, it was the Lord that freed him from his attachments or that difficulty. And that difficulty really is analogous to our attachments. The teeth of the crocodile are different. It's Maya grabbing us in different ways, that's all. It takes Krishna really to cut us loose from our attachments. But to come to that point of getting cut loose is that we have to really want it from the heart and not just what we say surreptitiously, you know, try to get rid of our attachments or mechanically. Does that help? Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Microphone.
Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. I found your class very inspiring. I've been reading, I've been discussing this issue with some friends lately about, on the one hand, in your class you say that Srimad Bhagavatam is the highest scripture because there is nothing else except Krishna. But on the other hand, there are examples of... for example, I got an email recently which was about the question of what Muslims should do and what Muslims should do to achieve the highest realization.
Muslims?
Yes, Muslims. Because they follow a different scripture. So on the one hand, we're saying, well, their scripture is not as high a scripture as the Srimad Bhagavatam. But on the other hand, in this email, the answer to the question given by, I think, Sankarshan Das Adhikari is his name, said that, well, you should just continue following Islam perfectly, and you will go to back to Godhead, I think was what he meant. He said the kingdom of God, so that must be go back to Godhead. So my doubt is, if their scripture is not as high a scripture as the Srimad Bhagavatam, and considering the fact that there are all sorts of, you could say, compromises in their scripture, such as they are allowed to eat cow meat, They're allowed to eat meat generally. They're allowed so many different forms of sanskritification. And they don't have the process we have. They don't have the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. They don't have deity worship. They don't even have a proper parampara system. Then how can they... How can we say that they, by following their process, can go back to Godhead?
As we mentioned, there are scriptures and gurus and teachings for different levels. If you follow that perfectly, you'll come to a higher platform. And from that higher platform, you can receive higher teachings. If you don't follow that, then you won't go any farther than where you are.
But does that then mean that a Muslim or a Christian can go back to Goloka Vrindavan in this life?
Well, if you study the discussion between Lord Chaitanya and the Chankazi, what did the Chankazi say about his own scriptures?
I'm sorry to say I have not studied the discussion.
Yeah, Chankazi, who was revealed, he said our scriptures are actually full of mistakes and cheating. That's what he said. Not Lord Chaitanya didn't say that. He said it. Chankazi said it. So the question is, you have to follow what is given according to where you can follow. If you give someone the highest scripture and they can't follow it, it's better they follow something in order to elevate themselves to a better situation. That's the point. Not as... We don't... You just have to compare what is the knowledge. This is an objective... It's not saying one religion is better than another process. You have to objectively analyze. What are material considerations? Well, there are material considerations in some scriptures to allow people to practice devotion to God on that level. Otherwise, if you give certain people the pure scriptures, they can't follow it. Just like even us, Prabhupada actually said, this is a statement by Prabhupada, he said it more than one time, many of my disciples will go to Swargaloka. We're here getting pure devotional service, but we're not following pure devotional service. We're still keeping material detachments, and we're following the process according to a certain level of practice. That's all right, but you can't expect to get the highest goal unless you follow the process as in the perfect way. So you can fit in somewhere. But you can only go as high as that teaching, that guru, and that process allows.
But could you answer the specific question about... because I know that Prabhupada at one point said that if you follow the Christian process perfectly, then you can go as high as Brahmaloka, where you will receive further teachings.
He said, yeah. He said, you'll go to the planet where Lord Jesus Christ is, and he'll teach you higher knowledge, because Christ said, there's so much more I could tell you, but you're not able to understand. That was Christ's own statement. So we don't take issue with anyone else's process. There's a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam that says, don't criticize another person's religion, but let people follow according to what they can follow. Just like we don't tell people, don't give in charity to welfare programs. Because if we tell them that, they won't give money to anything. So we encourage them, give in charity to support welfare activities, but still give to Krishna also. People want who worship Lord Shiva, they come and they want, we say, all right, chant Om Namo Shivaya and chant Hare Krishna.
But then what is the destination of a very devoted Muslim?
Well, that's up to God. I don't know. I can't say, you know, I'm not God. I can't say what's going to happen to this person, you know.
Ki Maharaj.
You're not going to get me to say, you know, we're the only way. It's not Prabhupada's teaching. Prabhupada explains what is the different processes and what are the results of the different processes. So no one is discouraged from following whatever they're following. But if they want pure devotional service, they have to come here. But even devotees are not following pure devotional service. Many of us are not following. Yes? We still want material things. We still want material considerations. We say, four regulative principles, but you know that one about illicit sex? When you're married, it just doesn't work. Yeah. There are many, many devotees who say, don't push it. We can't follow that in marriage. It's too hard. You're with your wife for so many years. How is it possible? Yeah. Believe me, I get letters. I know. So, you know, what Prabhupada gave a process. So even now, we try to kind of adjust things a little bit, you know. Follow the process as given by, therefore, there are, within the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are the principles that teach what is the absolute process. If you do it, gradually your material attachments will go. Gradually. Not all of a sudden. You can judge where you are in devotional service by understanding the process and understanding the different features of where you are. Just like there is Adastrata, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Nivritti. Okay, Anartha Nivritti. Well, what is the anarthas? How many anarthas do we still have? Before we can move to Nishta, we have to have 75% of the anarthas destroyed. That's Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains the scientific analysis of the process. If you're still having more than 70, if still have less than 75% of the anarthas destroyed, you'll stay in anartha nivritti. And you might die in anartha nivritti. So if you do, you'll come back as a devotee again and pick up wherever you left off. So we might say that those who are following other religious principles will get elevation to higher principles. But to go back to Goloka Vrindavan, that's a whole other thing. One may go to heaven, one may even go to Vaikuntha, which is very high. But to go to Goloka Vrindavan? Hare Bol.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. It's not an easy thing to get back to Godhead. It's easy with one feature, if you're determined. Prabhupada writes, that's the difference between success and failure's determination. And by determination, you access the mercy of the Lord. So what seems impossible becomes possible when determination is there, if one is determined. The story of the squirrel and Hanuman. You know, Hanuman was throwing big boulders. But the squirrel was doing as little he could to push the dirt onto the into the ocean. Ram said he's doing as much as you are because he is giving his best. If we're giving our best, you get the full mercy of the Lord. If you're holding back, that's the whole point. What Krishna, Prabhupada used to say, Krishna doesn't see what you're giving. He sees what you're holding back. And he's saying, ha ha, what is that over there? Don't try to hide it. So we're thinking Krishna doesn't see that. Because we don't see Krishna seeing it. But he's seeing what we're holding back. And then we have to be... That's why we need regular association with devotees and regularly inquiring from spiritual teachers in order to work on whatever we need to work on. Any other questions? Yes, Prabhu. Ananda Vardhana.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, you made a very good point today in Prabhuji's answer. Is that about, it is very difficult to even follow the four regulatory principles. And if you want to have a pure devotional service, unless or until you don't follow the basic thing, it is very difficult. And you made another point, is even 75% of the anarthas gets over, then you can reach to the nishtha stage.
Yeah.
Now supposing that one anartha which you mentioned, if that anartha has not been gone, that means it might be 25% or something. Still we can get a nishtha stage?
Still get to the nishtha stage by keeping illicit sex. Haribo.
It's what?
Well, there are some principles that are very much fundamental and foundational. The four regulative principles are foundational. They're big pillars. Those are more important than other ones, which also are regulative principles. The thing is, we have to, once you get a higher taste, visayan vinivartante niharasya dehinam, raso varjam rasapya param drisva nivartante. When you get a higher taste, you can give up the lower taste. Before you get the higher taste, you have to somewhat be restrictive in your life. You won't get the higher taste if you're still trying to enjoy the lower taste. And without getting the higher taste, how will you become fixed? Material activities will divert our attention away. Therefore, we're not fixed. We're not steady. If we're still trying to fulfill material desires and practice devotional service, those material desires will divert our attention and our time and energy away from Krishna. Krishna consciousness. So, that's why old age is really good. Because old age kind of said, well, I tried it all, it doesn't work. Might as well surrender to Krishna. Right? I was just reading about old age last night. Just imagine if there was no low age in life, and you were just young, you just lived 100 years and you died young, just like you went through your life and there was no cycle of age. You just grew and you got young and then you died at young. Would there be impetus for Krishna consciousness? No. Old age is great. It really gives you an opportunity to get serious, to see that soon I'm finished in this body, so I might as well use the remaining time in my life to get serious, to become really focused in my spiritual practice. So, you always have a chance, but you can't continue to try to play both sides, you know. At one point you have to realize, if I really want Krishna, if I want to really want to be fixed in my spiritual life, I have to give up my sinful activities. Illicit sex is sinful. It comes under one of the four, you know, activities of sinful life. But the happiness that comes with Krishna consciousness can't be compared to even a small drop of the happiness that one is getting from this. Nectar of Devotion explains the happiness that comes from liberation, freedom from all material suffering, if you multiply it a million times, cannot match the happiness of one drop of pure devotional service. So what to speak of the happiness that comes by material sense gratification in comparison to even liberation, which is not even compared to devotional service. Once we get that taste, whether it comes in kirtan or it comes in through our service, once the heart becomes filled with Krishna through an experience in Krishna consciousness, you can't never forget that. And you'll always look to find that again. It may not be there always, but once you taste it, you can't compare it to anything. And then when you do somehow engage in material activities, you think, what is this? This is useless. There's no taste to it. It's tasteless. Of course, as long as we have material desires, we still gravitate towards material activities. Therefore, to stay fixed, one has to have a good stay in association with devotees. And as Prabhupada said, become determined. He writes, it's in the fourth canto, eighth chapter, verse number 4830. He says, the difference between success and failure in devotional service is determination. He makes it clear. The difference between success and failure is determined. One who's determined will succeed. One who's not determined cannot stay on this path. Rupa Goswami says, Utsaham Nishchayat Daryat. He gives enthusiasm, determination, patience. So with determination requires patience, because patience allows for one to remain determined despite the difficulties, the obstacles. And Prabhupada used to say, you know, how many lives have you had for yourself? Give this one to Krishna. That's all. You've enjoyed, tried to enjoy sense gratification for so many lives, and you're not happy now. So, I don't know, try Krishna conscious this life. Simple plea to one's common sense, you know. So, go for it. And if you fail, there's no loss. And if you make it, great. But if you succeed in material life, what do you get? Another birth. That's all. And still with the same material attachments. So, can't lose. Okay. I think we should stop here. It's getting late. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Do Premanandi. Hari Hari Hari.